Welcome back. We've come to the last episode in our Creator Economy series. To wrap up, Index partner Danny Reimer speaks with Jason Citron, the co-founder and CEO of Discord. They talk about communities and how new platforms facilitate the fabric of culture and connection. Enjoy.
Hey, Jason.
Hey, Danny.
Really appreciate you spending the time here for this Creator Summit that we've been doing. I know it's a different topic from what we may usually ask you about and talk about, but it's difficult to think of a Creator Summit without talking about Discord in that context. And so really appreciate you taking the time today to talk about it. So I'm gonna plunge right in because we only have 20 minutes. So my first question to you was really around communities and how you think about it. I mean, it's pretty amazing to think that there are over 4 billion people on the internet today. And, you know, one of the lessons that we learned very early on with Etsy is that, you know, niches when they're online, all of a sudden get pretty damn big. And so when I think of Discord, you know, you have millions of servers out there. So how have you over the years come to think of communities on Discord and the variety of communities on Discord?
Well, thanks for having me, Danny. It's fun to be here and to get to talk to creators and folks that are interested in either becoming a creator or building their business more. We have lots of creators that use Discord and have a team that supports them, and we're super excited about that opportunity. You know, for us, 6 years ago when we started Discord, it was really about being a place to play games, you know, to talk before, during, and after playing games with your friends. And we built it for ourselves for that reason. And pretty quickly started seeing other types of communities pop up on Discord, open source, you know, development communities, some influencers setting up communities. And we stayed very focused on gaming for the most part. Many influencers, you know, from the gaming world joined, but then around like 2019 or so, we started to hear a lot of stories about people using Discord for things that had nothing to do with gaming. Like, I remember there was some musician that had set up a Discord server and he was like selling tickets or something on there, you know, for like a real live event. I was like, what's going on here? So we kind of embarked on this big research quest to go figure out like, how are people really using Discord? And we interviewed 17,000 of our users, sent them a survey that people spent about an hour answering it, telling us, you know, their hopes and dreams and what they liked about Discord and how it helped them. And what we really found was that people were using Discord for all sorts of stuff. There were art communities and, you know, like people gather, you know, coming together around TV shows and different types of music production and of course, different video games. And what we realized is that to your point, when you have so many people in the world that are interested in things and have access to this communications technology, the internet, each of these niches, you know, you might be really excited about, you know, interesting, you know, like spiral black and white artwork, like on your wall. And, you know, you may not know anyone who's into that stuff, but I bet if you go online and you go, you know, search on Discord, you'll find a bunch of like-minded people that are excited about that. So we started really seeing these kind of places where people want to come together and explore their interests and meet new people around it and build friendship and belonging really begin to flourish on top of the groups of friends coming together to play games and do their homework and all that kind of stuff.
Yes, I appreciate it because not everyone has my taste in art. So I appreciated that aspect. But yeah, I mean, you were talking about, you know, there are 19 million servers out there on Discord, right? And so if you think of the overall core of creators, how substantial do you think it is today? And how important do you think it is 5-10 years from now?
Well, so today we see about 19 million active servers each week. So there are many more, you know, active each month and many more that come and go as different special events happen. And, you know, we're also seeing a little over 150 million people use Discord every month. So that's kind of the context that we're operating in right now. As far as the amount of those that are run or sort of set up by creators, we think there are millions of servers every week where that are places for creators and their super fans to come together and enjoy and celebrate the work that people are making.
And most of it is audio-based, would you say?
It's pretty well split. You know, Discord supports text chat, voice chat, and video chat. You know, so for those of you who may not be aware, Discord is kind of like a super-powered group communications app where you can set up a space called a server, invite people in and customize it. And you have the ability to set up topic-based channels so you can talk, you can have text chat, and then you can jump into voice chat, which is pretty different than many other voice services because the way voice works on Discord is it's called a voice channel and it's like an always on conference call in a way. So if we were doing this on Discord, we would be in a voice channel and other people who are in the server could see that we're here and like pop in and participate in the conversation because we've all been invited into that space. So we find that 40% of our daily active users use voice chat every day across all the different ways that people communicate on Discord. So it's a very seamless experience to transition between text and voice and video, and people really, really love the voice chat.
And so why do you think voice is such an important component of this?
Well, it's a great question because you think about the different kind of ways that people can communicate online, and they each bring sort of different pros and cons to the experience, right? Like right now we're doing a video chat, which is nice. Like I can see your face, you can see mine, I can see the art on your wall, you can see that I have none. And like we get to have more of a rich experience, but as everyone watching this knows, being on video chat for hours and hours and hours every day is tiring because it takes a lot of attention. You're like trying to make eye contact, but we're not really looking at each other because you got to look at the camera, and it's just kind of not awesome, but it's pretty good as we've learned over the last, you know, year. What's special about voice is that you still get a lot of that rich emotional texture because you can hear someone's voice, you hear their emotion, and you feel like you're in the same space and you get to experience them more as a human. Your eyes are kind of freed up to do whatever you want. And so voice chat's amazing because we find that people use voice chat a lot when they're doing something else. So if you're playing a game together, your friends can be in your ears while you're running through a world, or you're studying your homework and maybe you have some quiet time, and then you ask a question, or you talk about something for a few minutes, you go back to doing problems. Or you can host a panel. You know, we launched this feature recently called Stages, which allows you to, and is really popular in community servers, to basically host a panel where hundreds of people can listen and you don't have to turn video on. In fact, you can't turn video on a stage right now. And so you can, as a creator, like host a talk in your pajamas, and that's really fun. So voice has this beautiful kind of middle ground where text chat is almost not enough emotion, but it's super low attention. Voice chat's kind of in the middle. You get a nice mix of emotion, but also it's not too demanding on your attention compared to video chat.
I'll never forget that one of the first major fans of Discord who I spoke with and was in a panel with him related to this summit a few days ago, Jack Conti from Patreon, you know, has been a huge fan of Discord, as you know.
And yeah, Jack's great.
He talks about how it naturally has become a primary platform for creators to talk to their fans. And what's fascinating to me is that it doesn't seem as though this was necessarily something that you folks proactively wanted to invite, but rather it's naturally come about. And so I was wondering whether you have reflected on why that's the case. And importantly, what you need to do in the future to maintain it as the natural, you know, natural town square for these different creators to interact with their fans.
Yeah.
Maybe, well, I'm not giving you enough credit, Jason, and you actually had been thinking, yes, of course, this will become the natural platform for creators. And you just didn't talk about it at board meetings.
Well, you know, fun fact, actually, I've never shared this with you, Danny, but back, I think, in 2011, before I started this company, way before Discord, I actually had a sketch for an idea of a startup called Town Hall, which was IRC for the future, where you could come together, meet people, talk around your interests. And we never really did anything with it. But but I'll tell you, you know, when we started—
By the way, did you know Stan at the time or not? Was that pre-Stan?
No. That was pre-Stan. But we both were sort of noodling on similar ideas, and we came together, and then Discord was born. So Stan's been an amazing co-founder. So your question was, did we intentionally sort of set out to welcome creators? So when we originally built Discord, it was very much about creating a place for people who were friends and wanted to talk before, during, after playing games. Like, that was very much it. It was like, think about, you know, your World of Warcraft raiding group or your, you know, few buddies that you play League of Legends with. But early on, we realized that this would be a really good improvement over the kinds of like internet chat that existed at the time, like IRC. And so we actually did go out to a number of communities early on to see if they wanted to use Discord. And funny enough, actually, it's kind of another funny story. I had reached out to a couple of moderators who were running different communities on Reddit. And I was like, hey, I noticed you guys have this link for IRC chat on your sidebar. You should check out our product Discord. We think it might be better. One of them told me to stop spamming the mod mail. One of them ignored me and one of them told me to F off. And now, you know, perfect. All those communities have Discords. But right. We really designed it to be about friends. And as people started using it more and more for communities, we made sure that the product would scale. So we put a lot of effort into infrastructure growing and then a lot of effort into trust and safety and making sure that Discord can be a safe place for people to come together around topics. You know, the crux of why I think it worked is actually has to comes back to what we call like the trust model. And, you know, in Discord, we built it with sort of privacy baked in from the beginning. You know, so each of these spaces you create is invite only by default. And because we knew that when you're playing a game, you might meet people in the game and invite them in for a session, we're like, you need to be able to delete messages. You need to be able to kick people. You need to be able to moderate it because there effectively might be people that are, you know, folks you don't really know in real life. And that kind of trust model really works great if you're bringing together a bunch of people around a topic or an interest. And so, you know, today we continue to invest very heavily in moderation tools. We have, you know, strict community guidelines that we expect people to uphold. And we have a trust and safety team that can respond if creators or moderators need help and also proactively go and find some of the worst stuff on, you know, that you can imagine and then, remove it from the platform before anybody notices. So it's a lot of work. We're proud of the work that we've done and there's, you know, always more to do.
Yeah, I must really give you credit for that. I mean, from the very beginning, what I was so blown away by with respect to the way that you talked about what you wanted to do about with Discord was having a point of view, having clear community guidelines, standing for something, and being intolerant of certain activities or actions by community members that you just were going to act on it. You were not going to accept it. And I think that for a lot of creators, you know, that's a breath of fresh air versus other platforms that are out there, that they understand what Discord stands for and that they can embrace it because, you know, you've built that trust over time. And the other aspect is actually on a business model standpoint, the fact that you've not wanted to offer advertising as a means of monetization for the platform. I'd like to think that it's not an orthodoxy and a fundamentalist view that means that it will never be on the platform, but you'll tell me how you feel about it. But more importantly, I feel like what it's forced you to do is come up with monetization capabilities that will ensure that Discord can be around without having to leverage advertising. Is that the way that you see it?
So just for maybe folks who don't know, like the way we make money is through a subscription service called Discord Nitro, which is what you're getting at. So people who love using Discord can choose to spend $5 or $10 a month and get access to premium features like HD video streaming or fun self-expression features like animated profile photos and custom emoji. And then we also have a feature called Boosting where you can basically give back to your community. And communities love this. And by spending money, all of your friends get some of that stuff for free too. So you kind of get to give your friends a big group hug. And it's super popular. The reason why we built Nitro is because fundamentally, like we want to wake up every day and try and solve problems for our customers, for our users, and make Discord a more delightful experience, a place that they can come and relax and have fun and be with their friends and be with people that share, you know, their interests. And so I love that Discord Nitro allows us to align our business incentives with our customers. So we have people who are sitting around trying to figure out how to, you know, grow our business. And they do that by making Discord more fun and better for our customers. And so I love that our incentives are aligned and there's that positive feedback loop. You know, advertising doesn't really do that because you end up, your customers are not your users. You're kind of trying to put these interstitials into the experience. And I think there are certain places where advertising models make sense. I think, you know, people are very used to it on TV and in that kind of context environment and other kind of feed-based, you know, social networks. But we're a communication service. We're not a social network. And I also just really want to make awesome things for our customers. And so I love that Nitro lets us do that.
I mean, I guess a question that I have is around creators and whether you're surprised on how much the creator economy has blown up or whether you expected that this be a natural consequence of the internet, that we would have as many independent creators with their own communities being able to make their passion their vocation.
It's been really amazing to see. You know, I can't say that I had the premonition of how it was going to play out, you know, like Jack might have when he started Patreon many, many years ago. You know, we were very focused on gaming. And now, you know, Discord has expanded much beyond that. But what I think is really interesting to talk about is actually the sort of trend that we're seeing of going from how in sort of the Web 2.0 era, creators were mostly like posting content on other people's platforms and then making money through advertising revenue share. And what's super obvious to me at this point is the idea that people want to be closer to the folks creating the things that they love, participate in that creative process, be heard, have a voice in that, and then evangelize and celebrate those works, whether it's, you know, a small craftsman or craftswoman selling something on Etsy, to an artist on Patreon, to someone offering financial advice, you know, and maybe on YouTube and, you know, with the Discord community, being able to be part of these smaller communities with like-minded people and participate in that creative process, and then also directly support those creators. This is a trend that's going to become so normal in 10 years that there will probably be more money generated through direct payments than through advertising for these folks. And, you know, the normalization of e-commerce and the comfort that people have with spending money on digital items and virtual content, I think is also a big contributor to this, which kind of comes from, you know, a whole generation of people growing up playing video games and that whole behavior becoming normalized. And then you've got this like really interesting twist of like, so what about blockchain and how is that going to show up? And, you know, the fact that now artists can participate in secondary markets of content that they're creating, you know, what's enabled by NFTs. I mean, there's a lot of scams and stuff that need to get worked out and, you know, environmental stuff, but I'm confident that will all get sorted out. It's a very exciting time, I think, to be a creator and to think about building a community and how you can develop that loyalty and evangelism around your work, you know, to get those 1,000 true fans, as they say.
It's interesting to me that we didn't talk about Discord being US-centric, and it obviously is not. So, you know, maybe you would want to talk about the fact that I just want to make sure that people realize I'm dialing in from London, but you know, that Discord is a global phenomenon, right? And that this creator concept is not specific to one geography, but I assume you're witnessing that growth on a global scale.
Oh yeah. All over the world, in every vertical, every niche, every interest you can imagine, 79% of our users like do not reside in North America. So if you're a creator and you're thinking about like, what's a good place to create a home for your super fans, Discord is increasingly becoming the place that creators are doing this. And we'd love to have you. And if you have questions, feel free to reach out to us on Twitter or, you know, or come find us on Discord.
Cool. I was recently in France and I met some Frenchmen who are on Discord, like 18-year-olds, and they were convinced that Discord was French. So I think you've achieved that capability already.
Oh, that's great. That's great. I mean, Kanye's doing it too, right? Like his last album, one of his songs, he played a couple versions in the Discord server and yeah. The fans actually picked the version that went on the album. So like mega creators like Kanye are doing it and all the way down to, you know, the French folks that you met who exactly. Feel like we're a native brand in France. I love it.
Jason, thanks so much. And congratulations on all the success of Discord. And I know we're just getting started.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, Danny.
Thanks for listening. At Index, we've been so inspired by the entrepreneurs and creators shaping this new economy. And we hope you enjoyed this series. But don't worry, this isn't goodbye. You can follow us at Index Ventures to stay up to date as we bring together entrepreneurs, operators, and investors to discuss how technology will change the way we live and work. Until next time.